Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Mothers are great teachers. They teach us many things. I want to share with you something called What My Mother Taught Me. It said, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me religion. You'd better pray that will come out of the carpet. She taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mom taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. She taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. She taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I love that one. Because if you die, your bodily functions suspend themselves, and what happens to your underwear? I mean, I love that one. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. She taught me about stamina. You will sit there until those peas are gone. She taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. She taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. She taught me about humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. She taught me about robots. About my roots. Shut that door behind you. Do you think you were born in a barn? And my favorite, she taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Things my mother taught me. You know, I want you to imagine this morning that you have a child, a very small baby, and you've just been diagnosed with a terminally ill disease. You only have 1 month to live. You have no other family and really no other close friends that you can give your child to raise. You need to find a mother to raise your child. What are you going to look for? Because you realize that the lady you entrust your child to, she is going to be teaching your child everything about life, about God, about work, about love, sex, dating, marriage, about character. And so you want to make sure you select the right lady. You have to choose a mom for your child. What would you look for? What kind of qualities would you look for? You know, we don't realize it, but in many ways, that is what God had to do when he was sending his son Jesus to come to earth. He had to look for a mother to be the mother of God. And this morning, we're going to talk about a mother of God. What does a mother of God look like? You know, if I say the car of Craig or the house of Craig, it means that the car or house belongs to me. And it's mine, I own it, and I can do what I please to do with it. And so when we hear a phrase like a man of God, what we're really saying is that this man belongs to God. God owns him. God can do with him what he pleases. The phrase a mother of God is a mother who belongs to God, a mother that God owns her and he knows that she will do whatever he pleases. And to see what a mother of God looks like, a mom who belongs to God, that God can use, we're going to look at Mary, who was the mother of Jesus on this earth. We've been talking the past few weeks about being world-shaking churches. Friends, Mary really embodies a world-shaking mom because the little boy she brought up, he did shake the world. And Mary is going to give us some qualities. She's going to show us what it takes to be. And this is not just for moms. This is for women who are not moms. This is for us who are men. This is what, if we want to be a man, a woman, a child, a person of God that God uses to shake the world, these are the qualities that Mary shows us we need to have. Let's pick it up in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered the manner of greeting this was. The angel then said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there'll be no end.' Mary said, 'How can this be, since I don't know a man?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that one who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Verse 38. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Let us pray. Jesus, I ask today, Lord, that as we learn what it means to be a mother, a man, a woman of God, Lord, that you will take these principles and you will help us to begin to flesh them out in our lives. God, begin to plant them as seeds that will grow and blossom. Lord, help us to birth the vision, the destiny you have for the world around us. I just thank you for this time. I pray you'd anoint it. And Lord, especially bless our moms this morning. We thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes this morning, what makes a mother of God, a woman that God can incredibly use? Number one, a mother of God is passionate about God. A mother of God is passionate about God. People can be passionate about many different things. Be passionate about exercise, passionate about cooking, passionate about television, passionate about Facebooking, passionate about scrapbooking. We can be passionate about many things, but the one thing a mother of God needs is to be passionate about God. Not saying that the other things aren't bad. Scrapbooking's fine. Exercise is fine. Facebooking is fine. But our real passion needs to be for God. And we see that Mary was passionate. There's several things as we look in the scriptures, little things pop up that show us, that reveal how she was passionate. First of all, if you're looking at Luke chapter 3, verse 41, it tells us that Mary and Joseph, they went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Jews in that day, as they lived in their different towns, they were required to go to Jerusalem for the different feasts. If you were a good Jew, you went. That meant you had to leave your home. You had to go on a trip, a long journey. They traveled up from Nazareth in Galilee. They went down to go to the feast. And so here, Mary faithfully goes to church. She keeps the religious ceremonies that she has. She's passionate about it. She's not lackadaisical in it. She took her kids to church. She just didn't send them to church. She showed up. She was there. She was faithful. We're told in Luke 2, 22 and 27 that when the days of her purification were completed, they went to Jerusalem and they presented Jesus to the Lord. They kept all the ceremonies. God was an important part of their life. She was passionate about him. She also had a vibrant spiritual life. I want us to look in Luke 1, 46. Mary is pregnant. She goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And when she walks in the door, Elizabeth's baby, who was a miracle, it was John the Baptist. Elizabeth was an elderly woman, but she's now pregnant. John the Baptist jumps inside of her. And this is a prayer that Mary says. It's kind of a praise to God. But as she does this, she is quoting Scripture. Mary knew the Word of God. Take a look at verse 46. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Mary is quoting 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. It's the same thing that Hannah said when she had a miracle baby, Samuel. When she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," she was excited about this miracle baby that was in her. Mary quotes what Hannah said. In verse 47, "My soul has rejoiced in God my Savior," is a quotation of Habakkuk 3:18. In verse 48, "He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant," is a quote of Psalm 138, verse 6. Verse 49, "He who is mighty has done great things for me. His name is holy," is quoting Psalm 126, verse 3. In verse 50, "His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation," is a quotation of Psalm 103, verse 11. Verse 51, "He has shown strength with his arm," is a quotation of Psalms 89, 13. "You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand." Friends, as we see this prayer of Mary, we realize that she was a woman that really knew the Word of God. She was so full of the Word of God that it just came bubbling out of her like an artesian well. She had a high spiritual life. She just wasn't living in the carnal, but her life was filled with the spiritual. She was a woman of God, a woman of prayer, a woman of praise, a woman of the Word, and it came out in her life, and that's one of the reasons why the Lord chose Mary. When you fast forward, after Jesus has died and he's went up to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Mary is included in the names of the people that were there in the day of Pentecost, waiting and praying for 10 days for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here was a lady that had an insatiable passion for God. And if we want to be a mother of God, a woman of God, a man of God, then we need a heart that says, "Lord, I am hungry for you, it beats for you, and I want you like nothing else." A passion for God is the first key that it takes to be a mother of God. Let's take a look at the second thing that we learn about being a mother of God. A mother of God has godly character. Mary's passion for God was translated into her everyday life. She just didn't do those things to do them, but it was part of her character, part of her fiber. She had a trusting, humble attitude. Look at verse 38. The angel says to her, "You're going to be pregnant with a baby," and she says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." What we don't realize is back in Bible times, if you were pregnant outside of wedlock, if you had committed adultery, you could be stoned to death. Mary is engaged to Joseph. Joseph, if he wanted to, he could have had her stoned, or he could put her away privately, break the engagement privately. And in Bible times, if you're pregnant outside of wedlock, that was a tremendous black mark against you. And even if she does live, she's probably going to be single her entire life, because who is going to want to marry a person of her character? So when Mary says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, do whatever you want to do to me," what she's really saying is, if I die, I die. If I lose the man of my dreams and I'm confined to singlehood for the rest of my life, that is the price that I will pay, because I love you so much, God, and I just want to follow you. I'm your maidservant. Wow. What an attitude she has. I mean, would you and I do that? Would you say, "Okay, if it's going to kill me, I'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, if I'm going to be single my whole life, if I'm going to lose my reputation, if I'm going to lose face in the community, if people are going to look at me and say, 'Yeah, look at her, look at him.' and for the rest of my life, I'm ridiculed. I'm the butt of people's jokes. Would you do that if God called you to do that? See, Mary's attitude was, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to trust God. And I'm humble. God's reputation is more important than my own reputation. And God's will is more important than my will. I'm going to humble myself before Him. That's this godly character that we see in this woman. No wonder God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. Because she has this incredible character. She was submissive. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we're fast-forwarding the story. She's had baby Jesus. God appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, hey, this really is real. She is having a child. And she wasn't impregnated by the Holy Spirit, not by a man. I mean, guys, wouldn't that be tough to swallow if your fiancé said, God did it? I mean, yeah, that's a tough one to believe. But Joseph becomes a believer after a dream. Well, Joseph has another dream, and the angel says, you need to get out of Dodge now. Herod wants to kill the boy. And so he nudges her. Mary, get up. It's the middle of the night. She could have said, Joseph, it's late. Let's go back to sleep. You know, you haven't been up all night four times taking care of the chunks, okay? You know. But what does she do? She's submissive to her husband's leadership. And again, when Joseph says, it's time now to move back, time to leave Egypt and move back to Nazareth and Galilee, she has a submissive heart. She was submissive to her authority. She was submissive to God. It's like, I'm obedient, I'm kind, I'm not willful, I'm not strong-willed, I'm not stubborn, I'm not obstinate. This is the character that's coming out of Mary. She was a woman of purity. We read today how she was a virgin betrothed. She was sexually pure. And when the angel comes, it says, it calls her highly favored one. I can think of few compliments that are higher than that. If God says, you are highly favored, you are blessed. I mean, God thought a lot of this woman. Because you see, she had a character that says, I'm going to do right no matter what. I'm going to do right even if the whole world looks down on me. I'm going to do right even if it hurts me, if it costs me my life, if it costs me my marriage, if it costs me my reputation. She was a woman of godly character. That passion was fleshed out in her everyday life. The third thing that we see about a mother of God is that a mother of God trains her children. She trains her children. Flip a couple pages to Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Jesus is 12 years old. His parents, they go to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. They went with a group of people, they went with family members, and they leave the city, and they're going home. And after like 3 days, after a few days, they realize Jesus isn't with them. They thought Jesus was with someone else. They go on a manhunt, and Jesus finally turns up in the temple. And what takes place is he is teaching the priests and the scribes and the religious leaders, imparting to them incredible spiritual truth. Now, Mary did not teach her son those things, but I believe that by Mary's passion for God, and she was deliberate in helping her children know the things of God, that she created a home where Jesus was in the Word and he was listening and being taught by the Holy Spirit, and he had incredible insight. Mary trained her kids. We see later on how she had other children and she trained them. Some people don't realize this, but Mary had other children with Joseph. In verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1, Joseph was aroused from his sleep. He took Mary as his wife, and it says he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son. After she had Jesus, Mary and Joseph had children together, and when it starts out, these children did not believe in Jesus. They did not think Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, I want you to think about this. How difficult would it be for you to grow up in the same house as Jesus? He's the Son of God. He really is the perfect child. He doesn't do anything wrong. I mean, when there's a fight, whose fault is it? It's yours, because this is Jesus. He doesn't sin. I mean, can you see the tension there? His brothers and sisters, hey, you're mama's pet. Yeah. You're the favorite one. Who do you think you are, the Son of God? Well, yeah, I am, you know. But his brothers and sisters did not believe him. But after the death and the resurrection, we see something very, very interesting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they're in the upper room, they're praying, they're waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says, these all continued with one accord in prayer supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. You see, something took place where all of this spiritual training about God, after the brothers had seen Jesus die, seen him raise again, it comes to life, and now they are as passionate about seeking what God has for them as their mother. Mother and sons are there seeking God together. Mary trained her kids to have a passion for God. There is a gentleman back in the 1800s, his name was Robert Ingersoll. He was a great skeptic, politician, agnostic, and he was an orator that liked to kind of give three-hour-long lectures that would bash Christianity and God and creation and the whole nine yards and the Bible. And Ingersoll held people spellbound. They would stay for 2-3 hours to listen to him. That's how good of a speaker he was. He was just captivating. And what took place is there was a time he was speaking on a college campus and two college students, they walked away, and one of them said to the other, he said, oh man, that sure, you know, kind of destroys Christianity and God and the Bible, don't you think? And the other student says, you know, he had a lot of things to say, but until Robert Ingersoll can explain the life of my mother, I will hold on to the God of my mother. And friends, when we have a life about us that we're passionate about God, model his character, and then we're passionately training and giving that to our kids, it produces something solid in our children where they walk and they go after God with all of their heart. Jesus' brothers did that because his mother and father were passionate about training them, bringing them to church, not sending them to church. Bringing them to a prayer meeting and not leaving them at home and all staying at home. They were passionate about God, and it came up. The last thing that we see about Mary, and I'd like our musicians to come as we come to a close this morning, is that as a mother of God never gives up on her kids. Never gives up on her kids. In John 19:25, we see that Mary was loyal to Jesus even when he was on the cross. The cross would be the equivalent to the modern-day electric chair. It was reserved for the vilest criminals of society. So Jesus is being put on public execution. Jesus' friends left him. No one stood with him, but we're told in John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. When everyone else was saying how bad he was, when everyone else gave up on him, his mother was right there and stood firm. And there may be some of you here today, you have children. They're grown children. They're not following the Lord. They're not walking after God. Maybe they're in your house still and they're making some bad decisions. Moms, dads, never give up on your kids. Yeah, they're going to mess up, but never give up. Love them with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pray for them. Seek God for them. Passionately serve God. Model it. The Bible says that if you train up a child in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart. they will come back around. Mary loved her son so much, she was not embarrassed to stand right by the cross and say, "This is my boy. This is my boy." And there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say that will make me give up on him. There's a story during the Nazi Holocaust when the Jews were put into the concentration camp. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife and their two sons were arrested and placed into one of the concentration camps. And the rules were simple, that as long as they did their work, they would not be exterminated. And when people became too weak to work, they were put to death. One of the boys was very weak, not very strong, and the dad was sent to work in one area, and the mom and the two boys were sent to work in another area. And every day, Solomon, he would be praying that his wife and kids would be okay. And that night, every night when they came back together, he would scan the crowds as they came back. He would look for his wife and his two sons. And when he saw them, he would gather together. He would thank God. They would pray together. And they just thank God for another day of being together. One day, Solomon came back. And he looked, he didn't see his wife and his sons. He just saw one son, and he ran over to him, and his son's crying. And he says, "Son, where's mom? Where's the son?" And he says, "Well, our little brother, he couldn't make it today. And so they were going to take him off, and they were going to execute him, put him to death." And he's crying. He says, "Mommy, I'm afraid. I don't want to go alone." And his mommy says, "That's okay. I will walk with you." And the mother and her son walked off to their deaths. A mother of God, a father of God, never gives up on God or their kids. They love them with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength. They love their children as themselves. I'd like everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.